I don't know if this, I know it's National Pajama Day. Mm. I don't know if it's good for me because I think it's put me in a really relaxed state for the morning, which yeah. I know ordinarily would be a good thing, but I need to be at a heightened sense of urgency.
Yes.
When I'm running the desk and I'm just not there.
I've loved wearing your pajamas to work day. This has been a pleasure.
I mean, we're supposed to be creating the vibe that gets people out of their pajamas.
On the show this morning, we did not give away the $10,000 for Mix 94.5 to The Chosen One. We know why you're here. You're after a full list of the clues.
So here are the clues. Coffee lover, hello sunshine, shop local, Optus Stadium, hotmail.com. We're the Eagles, we're flying high. And buon appetito.
Buon appetito. And earlier today, we had XY and tropical.
Now, we're wondering if people are overthinking it.
Yeah.
At this point, I am legitimately just looking for the XY is the male chromosome. So yeah. I'm looking for an Italian guy who likes the West Coast Eagles, hangs out at Optus Stadium a
lot. Dengue fever.
Drinks a lot of coffee. And gets up early in the morning, maybe. Hello, sunshine.
Hang on a minute.
Yeah, g'day.
It's Pete.
How did you know I had dengue fever? Put all those together, roll them in. Look, even if some of them don't make sense to you, as soon as you hear the guys across the workday today say, give us a call, 131060, get on the phone because you just don't know.
Well, what does make sense these days?
Well, that's a perfect point, Matt. Yeah. It really is.
But otherwise, thanks for sticking around for our podcast where every day you'll hear all the best bits of the show.
Enjoy. What a week,
what a newsy old week. The weekend birth, yeah.
Oh, it's back.
It's my yes day on Friday, isn't it? I'll get rid of that for a start. What a week it's been. We've had both the Prime Minister and the Leader of the Opposition, Scott Morrison and Anthony Albanese, here in Perth. Now, of course, there are shows that you will listen to or watch if you want in-depth political analysis.
Yeah.
This is not that show.
No.
Not that we couldn't. We don't want to. Like, who wants to, you know, hear about the fiscal situation at 7 a.m, right? And we've had politicians who, and also we've got like 4 or 5 minutes. You know, you can't explain all of the problems of the country in that time.
No.
And we've had pollies who understood that and have come in and had a bit of fun with us. Mark McGowan, even before he was Premier, was doing that. Even ScoMo, when he came in, had a good time, played with us.
Mm-hmm.
We have had people like former Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull who didn't get it, that we were just here to sort of get to know the man rather than, you know, find out his policies.
Some of them have a serious agenda to push,
quite,
don't they?
Quite. Well, we don't support or anyone politically, but we like them when they're nice people. And we had the pleasure of Anthony Albanese, the Leader of the Opposition's company, and we didn't talk much politics. In fact, we talked about green peas and rage. And it was very refreshing. He's a nice man. I don't know if he's going to be a good Prime Minister one day or not, but I like the cut of his jib, and so I gave him a song.
You know, I start to panic when I got nothing for the show. And I've used all my best fart jokes. Then out of the blue, I get a text from Albo.
The federal opposition leader, Anthony Albo Albanese.
I'm in town, shall I come to the studio?
Here I am, back in the West.
And I say, yeah. Cool. It's Albanese. Here to spruik the Labour Party's position.
I want people to get vaccinated. It's important they do.
He's so Albanese. With Albo, I don't feel the opposition. Seems like a nice guy.
DJ Albo, it's great to be here.
Relaxed style.
You've got that loving feeling.
I couldn't tell you if it'd make a good PM or not.
I want people to get to know me.
We talked about peas.
I am pro-peas.
Oh, he loves peas. But Kimber said,
They taste nice, particularly if you put a little bit of mint sauce, cold mint sauce on your warm pea. They're terrific. They go with fish, they go with meat, they go with chicken.
He's Albanese.
Please let me host Rage. DJ Albo, it's great to be here.
Wants to be the country's next head honcho.
So we didn't have all our eggs in the AstraZeneca basket.
So Albanese.
Techno rubbish.
And now we wait for bated breath for ScoMo.
Thanks for having us in the studio again. The chickens have come home to roost. Mix 94.5.
Oh, mate, best one yet.
Oh, bless
Without
you. See, I love it. We get to hear it for the first time at the same time as the rest of Perth. So that was great.
That's gold.
Good on you, Padgy.
He was militant about peas.
He was militant about peas.
Pete, Matt and Kimber.
Guys, social media loves a stunt.
Yes.
People love getting out there and doing. I've never been a risk taker. I'm not really one of these get out there and do something silly to see what happens.
Oh, Kimber, you take a risk every time you turn the mics on.
Yeah, you do.
Different
every
type of risk.
Every time you wear that top too, by the way. Anyway, stop it.
Different type of risk. But there's a video going around that is on, well, most of the news sites even today because it's moved from social media because it's so awful, of a woman going into a Woolworths store and filming herself doing a stunt. Now, she's gone in and she's tried to do the backflip, just the full standing backflip.
In the aisle at Woolworths.
In the aisle at Woolworths. And look, she's so confident she's wearing slippers.
Oh, no.
Right? They're like flip-flops, like a, not even a thong, like kind of like a
Croc.
Like a Birkenstock sort of thing. So confident, she's just pressed film on the video, walked to her position in the Woolworths aisle, done this dramatic big flip, and didn't land it the way she hoped. Oh. In fact, she just landed on her knees, and this is the sound.
Oh. Oh. Hang on, I need that again.
Oh, clean up in aisle three.
That is her body landing like a pancake on the ground, and it you can when you watch it back in slow mo, like you can see her knees hitting, all of her toes curling under, like it looks like she's going to need knee replacement surgery on both knees.
She's out for 12 to 14 weeks, there's no doubt about it. Yeah.
The thing that got me is how confident she was, like overconfident. Mm. Then what it looked like she had performed this flip 200 times before.
I mean, my raison d'etre, my reason for living is to not make an idiot of myself. That if I can get through a day without making an idiot of myself, I'm reasonably happy. And one way you don't is by trying to do that in public.
But see, it's not always a stunt. I think sometimes the thing is you just, you know, people do get overconfident. Or sometimes it's because you've been drinking as well. Yeah. But, you know, something comes over
beer.
You. Yeah, hold my beer. Yeah. You've got all your friends around or whatever and you think, I can do something. Yeah,
we've all done it.
And then you really do something bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen plenty of them in my time. I've seen people jump off the roofs into pools and not quite land it properly.
No.
Trampoline tricks.
Oh, trampoline tricks are absolute gold. And these days, trampolines, kids have all the trimmings when it comes to trampolines.
Oh, they've got actual safety.
Right, the safety nets and the flat things, are, like the pads, you know, around where the springs are. We didn't have any of that stuff. And we were doing all sorts of trampolines. We used to go to Wedgell Island, north, not with a trampoline. And we used to take the quads. And that was a weekend where you'd see a lot of people do some stupid things because they're like, my mates are around, the engines are roaring and revving. My brother's come off a jump, confident as anything you've ever seen in his entire life, thinking he's a crusty demon. Kicked his legs out, tried to do a Superman, lost control of the entire thing, bang, and the banshee's actually landed on top of him.
Oh, that's the worst.
Oh, it's crazy.
Dangerous. I used to ride four-wheelers.
Did you?
Really loved it. Used to really enjoy it. And then one day, my partner at the time said, well, why don't we get you on a two-wheeler and see how you go on these? Because I was pretty good on the four-wheelers and jumped on the two-wheeler. And I think I just sort of thought, it wouldn't be as hard. You know, I was confident with motorbikes. So I was like, I should be fine. But I just gave it a bit too much throttle, straight into the bush, straight in. Like it looked like I was almost aiming for it. It was so bad.
History tells us that being overconfident will not end well.
No.
Only once in my life, in my professional life, was I overconfident when I auditioned for the lead in an adult movie.
That was
if
him.
Only.
That was just if him only. Slapping his deal on the desk.
If only.
When were you overconfident? Mark in Midland?
Many years ago now, but I was playing cricket and we were playing in the grand final. We were fielding. The other side needed five more runs. There were 9 wickets out. I was fielding through a slip. Guy bowled it. This guy hit it straight up in the air behind the wicketkeeper. I was down under it. It was the easiest catch ever. took it too easy. Dropped it. Went straight through my hands. Dropped it. And then they end up making the 5 runs they needed to win. We lost the grand final.
Did you throw at the stumps and it went for 4, Mark?
Pardon?
Well, you dropped the catch, but did you then throw at the stumps to try and get a run
out?
No.
I just dropped it and then they kept on bowling. We bowled the next ball and bowled another half and they scored the 5 runs that they needed to win.
But, Mark, you've never gotten over it, mate. This was years ago and you've never let it go because that overconfidence just it didn't work.
25 years ago, haven't got over it. My mates haven't got over it. They give it to me every time they see me. And yet, Matt, I'll die with that.
Oh, Mark, I was a goalkeeper and once a penalty went through my legs, like it nutmegged me and it was going not very fast at all and it was just a nightmare.
On you, mate.
Good on you, mate.
His Wikipedia page describes him as one of Australia's most experienced and well-travelled comedians. Doesn't say anything about funny. Lucky he is, which is why we love him. Please welcome, friend of the show, Limo.
Limo, it's been a couple of weeks, mate. How are you?
I've missed you guys. It's a joy to be back.
Oh, Limo, us too. And Limo, this is the only time I can ask you this without getting fired. What are you wearing?
Right now, I'm wearing just jeans and a tracksuit top. Is that...
Mate, it's National Wear Your Pyjamas to Work Day. We're all in our gym jams.
He's a comedian. There's no going to work.
I miss that memo. I've been wearing trainers, jeans, and a T-shirt and a tracksuit top for roughly 25 years. it's been in and out of fashion 5 times, this get-up, since I started wearing it.
Always comes back.
It is the comedian's uniform. Hey, you guys just played Gangster's Paradise, right? True story. At a mate's grandmother's funeral, right at the end of the funeral, right, they said, now as the coffin leaves the church, we're just going to play a song she asked to be played. And they played and they accidentally put on Gangster's Paradise and it played for about 90 seconds as people were kind of staring around. Yes!
Oh.
Before someone actually got up and said, actually, sorry, that wasn't the song. Here it is. And they played Amazing Grace.
Oh, brilliant.
She won it.
Oh, how much better if it had been her request.
Oh, jeez. But that would be a good song to go out with, Grandma, I've got to say.
Now, what's going on this morning, mate?
I mean, hey, a quick one for you. Have you seen, everyone's happy about the travel bubble opening up with New Zealand. Mm-hmm. Have you seen this? And Air New Zealand is starting to weigh passengers.
They're weighing them.
Because they want to work out what the average weight of their passengers is. I guess so they can save fuel or something. But the check-in has now become a weigh-in at Air New Zealand. How awkward is that going to be for people as you're walking up? No, I've got some. These clothes weigh heaps. It's the clothes.
Oh, that's against my civil liberties.
It is against your civil liberties. And because you don't want to get on the scales at the airport when there's a long queue and hear this.
Weight limit exceeded. Please get off. Weight limit exceeded. Please get off.
I do not like it. But that's what New Zealand do. I just hope they don't start breath testing people when they get on planes. I might be in a bit of trouble then. But, guys, what I really want to talk to you about this morning is I caught up with went around to a very good friend's place for dinner the other night where he lives with his wife and 2 young boys. And they have in their house, a lot of people have unusual pets, they have a pet rat.
Okay.
Which they love and they bought the rat for $20. They call him Mickey. And Mickey the rat, a few months ago, got a little bit sick. So they took Mickey the rat to the vet. A lot of people wouldn't bother taking a rat to the vet, but they did. They took the rat to the vet.
Not a $20 rat, too. No. I don't know. That's a cheap pet, isn't it? $20.
It is a cheap pet, yes. I don't know if it was a rescue rat.
Is it microchipped?
I don't know. But they took the rat to the vet. It was really sick. And they had to go to a special sort of exotic pets vet. And they were in there and they were talking to the nurse. And the nurse actually said to them, are there any allergies? They said, well, we really don't know. It's a rat, right? But it ended up the rat had to be put on oxygen in ICU overnight at the vet, and then they released the rat the next day after spending the night on oxygen. And now they have got two different lots of antibiotics that they have to give to the rat every day.
Wow.
So every day they're medicating that rat with these antibiotics.
Is this going to be a short-term thing? Like, that's incredible. Like, I mean, keeping any animal in ICU overnight is really expensive.
Yeah.
And it wasn't cheap either. They had to fork out a bit of coin for this. So, and now they're giving, oh, you should see my mate shaking his head while he's talking me through the details. So now they're giving medication to this rat every day for 4 months. They have to do this.
Oh, God.
I've just got this thought of this rat just laying on its back on this table with the world's tiniest respirator attached to its snout.
And someone going, clear!
But also, it actually amazes me what kind of treatments you can get. Like, I would never have really considered that you can do that for a rat. But I once heard a woman talking on radio about she's a fish doctor. And she does surgeries on fish.
On fish.
And it was the most fascinating thing. I couldn't get out of the car. Yeah. It was so cool. Like, there's some crazy treatments you can do for animals.
So I guess every animal is fixable, I suppose, on some level. But what's the craziest treatment you've ever had for your pet? And I guess the stranger the pet, the better.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah, so right, they are a member of the family and we'll do anything for them.
100%. All right, Lee, mate, thank you, mate. We'll toss it out there and see what we get back.
All right, thanks, team.
I think I'm going to get a $20 rat.
Mate.
I'm going to become a rat doctor.
What's the craziest treatment that your pet has received?
Kelly, good morning. What was the crazy treatment?
Well, I actually had a budgie when I was a kid and Mum and Dad painted the family room. And my budgie, Pete, fell off the perch.
Oh, God.
My dad grabbed him out of the cage and started giving him, well, mouth-to-beak resuscitation.
Did it work?
No.
Oh, Kelly.
No. I've just got this like thing. Your dad's got mouth-to-beak's one thing, but then the little fingers on the chest of the boop, boop, boop.
He did the whole nine yards.
Did he? Wow.
Oh, don't paint the house with the budgie in the room.
And, of course, it's so awful anyway, but to watch yourself trying to resuscitate the budgie in their little mirror, you're just awful.
G'day, Pam.
Hi.
This is about your parrot.
It's about my parrot.
What did you have to get done? What crazy treatment?
Well, she started laying eggs, so we had to take her to the unusual pet vet because she's a parrot.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up implanting like an implant on, like the pill.
Oh, okay.
Into your parrot?
Yep.
I've never heard. So the implant on, for those of you who don't know, it's sort of like a little, like a sort of 4-centimeter rod that they inject
lives
into.
Under the skin.
Well, women get it. Yeah, you inject it into your arm and it stops you getting pregnant. But wow, in a parrot.
In a parrot. It obviously wasn't 4 centimeters long for the parrot.
No.
Well, nothing would be. No.
I don't even know. They made an implant on for pets.
Yeah, they do. And it lasts about 8 months and you have to get it done again. And she costs us about $2,000.
Wow. Wow. All of a sudden, there are a lot of male pets out there listening going, they make implanons? far out. Emma in Coogee, good morning to you.
Morning, guys.
Craziest treatment your pet has received. What do you got?
Well, it's not me. It's my mum. She has got a couple of chickens and she'll take them to the vet to get some social counselling if they're not getting along with each other.
Wow.
This is too good.
How does that work?
I mean, I kind of want a job where I am a chicken counsellor. Yeah. Like, how do they do social counselling?
So they'll work out that mum will take the bully, or the chicken that's the bully and the one that's getting bullied, to the vet and say, look, can you tell me why they're, you know, picking on each other? And then the vet will give mum advice on, you know, separating them for a while and what to do and how to do it, how to set up the environment. So it's pretty nuts because mum spends a lot of money on taking to the vet for chicken counselling.
Well, I mean, let's face it, the experts on maths don't get it right. So, I mean, you know, surely you can have a pretty good rate with chickens.
You've been a very good boy, Matt.
I feel like it's Christmas morning.
You have been a very good boy, and you are getting a surprise because you've been a smoker for many, many years.
Too long.
Or you were a smoker.
I was a smoker,
I can say. You were a smoker for many years, and 9 weeks ago you quit.
Yeah.
Which is astounding. It's the longest time that you've quit for, and we're really proud of you.
Since I was a teenager, a young teenager.
Yeah, so yeah. A long time. And so before you went on holidays, we went, hey, he might start smoking over the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Pete and I went, it's a tough time when you're on break.
Let's call it a trigger moment.
Yes.
Yes.
So Pete and I came up with a suggestion and we said, look, if you stay off the durries for the week of holidays, we'll make sure there's a surprise in it for you when you come back.
And I did, and you did.
Yeah.
We have.
And so we've got this surprise.
Yeah. Take a listen to this, mate.
Matt.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, Dave.
Yes, 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 yes.
Oh.
Matt's yes day. Now, you look perplexed.
I do look perplexed.
You might be wondering what a yes day is.
I am.
On Netflix right now, there's a very popular family movie called Yes Day. And this is the premise of what a yes day is.
Have you heard about Yes Day?
It's this new thing where parents say yes to everything their kids ask for 24 hours.
Radical!
How am I just hearing about this?
Oh, yeah!
Yes!
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Pete and I, next Friday, are giving you Matt's Yes Day.
Oh.
Where you can make any request and Pete and I are at your beck and call.
Anything. Oh,
wow.
Anything.
Well, I tell you what, I'll see you Monday morning after I leave on Thursday.
Well, what we're going to do is all next week, we're going to let you come up with suggestions. So you've got to think about it over the weekend.
Okay.
Think
I
about
love
it all next week.
Some
Every
breakfast.
Day next week, give us some of your suggestions so we know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
We're going to get the mixed family on board. So, listeners, we want to get your thoughts. We're going to put up a Facebook post right now so you can jump on there, tell us what you think Matt should ask for. And Pete and I are going to try and make everything come true.
Oh, my loves. I actually wouldn't even know where to start. I'm not the sort of person that does, do things for myself.
But we are indulging in your neediness.
Wow.
Like
Well, if you want to spend the whole morning telling me how funny I am, then that would be fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Put it on the list. We've got some suggestions.
Okay.
If you want to fill the studio with puppies that morning, for example, we can make that happen.
Okay.
I mean, that might be my idea of a yes day. But you know, this is the sort of thinking that you can make. You want cheese toasties, you want cups of tea, whatever you want. We can make it happen.
Mate, massages, I will cook you an a la carte breakfast.
Oh.
Actually, I'll cook you a smorgasbord.
Oh, hello, a buffet.
For that morning, a buffet. Yeah.
I'm going to have to talk to my wife and
stepdaughter
about this.
Talk about it with your friends and family. Every day next week, we're going to check in with you and go, what kind of things have you got on the list? The listeners are going to call in and help give suggestions. And then next Friday, your yes day is going to be all about you.
That is so cool. Thank you so much.
Celebrating 10 weeks of being a non-smoker.
Yep.
To keep you on track.
Fantastic. Wow.
Yeah, mate. And I'm just going to throw it out there as well. I'm going to pop this seed in your head.
Mm.
All right. The music we play, you can pick some of your own.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's Matt's yes day.
It's your yes day.
It's going to be 3 hours.
One song.
One song.
Not one song. I'm talking a whole show.
I'm just going to play side two of Beatles Abbey Road. Eh?
Perfect.
Yeah,
but, you know, if you want to play a Beatles song.
Oh, I will.
Chuck it on the list.
Done.
All right.
This is going to be
Matt's
fun.
Yes
what a day.
Next Friday. So
Should
come
up,
with your suggestions. Give us your ideas or chuck them on our Facebook page because it's your day, Matt.
All right.
Friday. All right, mate.
Done.
Yes,
thank
Friday.
You so much.
No, pleasure, mate. You've done well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So much yes.
He was the club's number two draft pick in 1998 and these days calls the shots as head coach. Part of the Mix 94.5 family, please welcome Fremantle Dockers coach, Justin Longmuir.
Pleasure to catch up with you as always, mate. How are you going?
I'm good.
it was a better result on the weekend, so looking to build on that and seeing if we can take it on the plane.
Mm.
Thanks for coming in today. It is National Wear Your Pajamas to Work Day. You have not done that. I'm trying to get a headline here. Is it because you don't wear pajamas?
No, it's because I might cop a bit of flack if I rock up to work straight after this in them.
Yes.
That might be a bit awkward.
It's like the pollies who, you know, go to the sausage sizzle and there's a photo of them eating the sausage sizzle in a suggestive way and they can't do that anymore.
I didn't know that.
Yes, apparently. Apparently they have to eat it from the halfway
Is
mark,
right?
Otherwise
what?
Some... Yeah.
Wow.
Really?
That's wow. Yeah, I heard one of the, I don't know, Turnbull or one of them say that once.
As a mad fan, right, and I get the best of it on the sidelines, you know, when we're doing a home game, watching the guys go absolutely mad on the weekend and get that win, and the same a couple of weeks before that as well, is it frustrating that they can't put it together when they're away?
Yeah, the away performances are two different performances. I thought in the Melbourne game we created a lot of opportunities. We had a lot of inside 50s. Boy, our skill level just let us down. But the Carlton game was really frustrating because we went away from the way we play and we went away from our roles and it didn't really look anything like us after the first quarter. So that was frustrating and disappointing because I can handle getting beaten if you play your way and you give your all, but I didn't think we did that against Carlton. So that's our challenge this week.
Mm. And is that away thing still as big as I assume it was? You know, certainly when I was a kid watching footy and watching people go to Moorabbin and the Junction Oval in Footscray, it looked like, you know, a real cauldron. But these days with the stadium the way they are, would it sort of feel the same most of the time?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's something we didn't experience last year. We're a young side. You know, last year there was no crowds, there was no real travel because we were away for 8 weeks at a time.
That's
so,
right, yeah.
The travel plays a part, and the new stadiums actually hold in the noise.
Mm.
I've heard really senior Collingwood people say that Optus is the loudest ground in Australia.
Really? Cool.
Just because it holds the noise in of the crowd, and that plays a part on your psyche when you're playing away.
Mm. Now, by nature, you're quite a calm, sustained dude. But when I see the boys do something great on the field, you're punching the air and there's this like burst of kind of excitement. How does that feel for you? Does it feel like you just suddenly get this burst of energy?
Yeah, absolutely. And when I see one of our players do something that either they've been working on or something that's, you know, really, really good, I love that. I love celebrating that. On the flip side, I try and hold in my emotions on when they do something wrong. Sometimes I don't always get that right and do get a little bit frustrated. My wife actually laughs and takes a mickey out of me about that. She just thought I'd be this stone cold person in the box and I've become a little bit emotional and a little bit of carry on. She finds that really funny. So
I think the fans like to see that though.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, not too far, but
not,
you know,
yeah, not too far.
That it means something to you. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it does. Yeah. It does.
Off the back of last weekend's game, one of the most mind-blowing things was to see the commentary around Nat Fyfe after the match because he kicked 6 points. And by the way, we also heard resoundingly that the actual record holder for kicking the most points in a match for Fremantle is yourself.
Yeah. Oh.
7 points in a match. But was it unusual to hear that conversation about why is Nat Fyfe on the field afterwards practicing his goal kicking?
Oh, absolutely. I can understand the criticism if he went out there and didn't put his head over the ball and didn't get bruised and battered and where he won a lot of contested possessions, he pressured, he actually went in too hard sometimes, but he just didn't execute in front of goals. And he thought, I can't sleep on that. I want to you know, work on it straight away. And he ticked it off with the medical department and they said he could have a certain amount of kicks after and make sure you warm up again properly. And he did all that. And yeah, sometimes we just find things to pick at and you're picking at someone for trying to get better. I think it's an extraordinary,
crazy.
Yeah, extraordinary comment. So.
Well, if we're not talking about football, we're not talking about anything.
Yeah.
So we've got to constantly find something.
Yeah.
To...
Were you thinking of dragging him before he got to your record?
No, I actually put him forward. I wanted him to break it.
That's right. Yeah,
another couple of pings.
It'll be a tough game, but good luck.
Thank you.
10 past 11 our time on Sunday, live from Adelaide Oval against Fremantle. Come back with a win. Good on you, mate. Always great to catch up.
Brilliant. Thanks for having me again.
Good to see you.